গোপীজন বল্লভ শ্রীবরধারি, যশোর নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন, যশোর নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন, যমুন তীর অনুচারি, যমুন তীর অনুচারি, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি, জয় বিষ্ণুপাদ পরমহংস প্রিয়রাজকচার্য অষ্টোত্তর সত্যশ্রী শ্রীমান ইসি ভক্তি বেদান্ত স্বামী প্রভুপাদ কি জয়, অনন্ত কোটি বৈষ্ণবৃন্দ কি জয়, নামাচার্য শ্রীল হরিদাস ঠাকুর কি জয়, প্রেম সুগৌর শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শ্রীভাসারি গৌর ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয়, শ্রী শ্রী রাধা কৃষ্ণ গোপীনাথ শ্যামকুন্দ রাধা কুন্দ গিরি গোবিন্দ ধাম কি জয়, বৃন্দাবন ধাম কি জয়, নবদ্বীপ ধাম কি জয়, মথুরা ধাম কি জয়, ভক্তি দেবী কি জয়, তুলসী দেবী কি জয়, ইমুনমায়ী কি জয়, গঙ্গা মায়ী কি জয়, সমবেত ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয়, অল গ্লোরিজ টু দি অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিস, অল গ্লোরিজ টু দি অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিস, অল গ্লোরিজ টু দি অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিস, গৌর প্রেমানন্দে হরি হরি বল, which text is it? Which? Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya,
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya,
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya, Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto, chapter 4, characteristics of Rishabhdev, text 3. Yasya hi indraha spardamanaha bhagavan varshe navavarsha tat avadharya bhagavan Rishabhadevaha Yoga Ishvaraha Prahasya Atma Yoga Mayaya Svavarsham Ajanabham Nama Abhyavarshat Yasya Hindra Spardamano Bhagavan Varshe Navarsh Bhavarsha Tadavadarya Bhagavan Rishabhdevo Yogeshvaraha Prahasyatma Yogamayaya Savarsham Ajanabham Namabhyavarshat Yasya Hindra Spardamano Bhagavan Varshe Navarsha Tadavadharya Bhagavan Rishabhdevo Yogeshvaraha
Rahasyatma yoga mayaya Svavarsham ajanabham Nama bhyavarshat Yasya hindras parnamano Bhagavan varshe navavarsha Tad avadharya bhagavan Rishabdevo yogeshvaraha Prahasyatma yogamayaya Svavarsham ajanabham Nama bhyavarshat.
Someone else can chant. Bhagavan varshe navavarsha tad avadharya bhagavan Rishabdevo yogeshvaraha yasyatma yogamayaya navarsham ajanabham nama bhyavarshat. Someone else? Yasya hindras pardamano Tad avataya bhagavan Rishabdevo yogeshvaraha Rahasyatma yogamayaya Savarsham ajanabham Nama bhyavarshat. Yasya hindras pardamano Bhagavan varshe navarvasha Tadavataya bhagavan Rishabdevo yogeshvaraha Prahasyatma yogamayaya Svarsha ajanabham Nama bhyavarsha. Ladies, Yasya hindras pardamano Bhagavan varshe navavarsha Tadavataya bhagavan Rishabdevo yogeshvaraha Prahasyatma yogamayaya Savarsham ajanabham Nama bhyavarsha Yasya hindras pardamano Bhagavan varshe navarvasha Tadavadaya bhagavan Rishabdevo yogeshvaraha Prahasyatma yogamayaya Savarsham ajanabham Nama bhyavarshat. Yasya, of whom? He indeed Indraha. King Indra of heaven. Sparamanaha.
being envious. Bhagavan, very opulent.
Varshe,
on Bharat Varsha.
Navavarsha,
did not pour water.
Tat,
that.
Avadharya,
knowing.
Bhagavan,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Rishabdevaha,
Rishabdev.
Yoga Ishvaraha,
the Master of all mystic power.
Prahasya,
smiling.
Atma Yoga Mayaya,
by his own spiritual potency.
Svavarsham,
on his place. Ajanabham, Ajanaba.
Nama,
named.
Abhyavarshat,
he poured water. Translation. Indra, the king of heaven, who was very materially opulent, became envious of King Rishabdev. Consequently, he stopped pouring water on the planet known as Bharatvarsha. At that time, the Supreme Lord Rishabdev, the master of all mystic power, understood King Indra's purpose and smiled a little. Then, by his own prowess, through Yogamaya, his internal potency, he profusely poured water upon his own place, which was known as Ajanaba. Purport? Who can read?
Both King Indra and Rishabdev, the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, are described as Bhagavan. Sometimes Narada and Lord Brahma are also addressed as Bhagavan. The word Bhagavan means that one is a very opulent and powerful person like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Narada or Indra. They are all addressed as Bhagavan due to their extraordinary opulence. King Rishabdev is an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and therefore he was the original Bhagavan. Consequently, he is described herein as Yogeshwar, which indicates that he has the most powerful spiritual potency. He is not dependent on King Indra for water. He can supply water himself, and he did so in this case. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Yagnat Bhavati Parjanya, Bhagavad Gita 3:14. Due to the performance of Yajna, clouds of water are manifest in the sky. Clouds and rainfall are under the management of Indra, the heavenly king. But when Indra is neglected, the Supreme Lord himself...
Neglectful.
When Indra is neglectful, the Supreme Lord himself, who is also known as Yajna or Yajnapati, takes the task upon himself.
Yes. This principle that sometimes persons neglect Krishna, thinking him to be an ordinary person, thinking that things are depending upon them. This happens sometimes to Indra. Indra is he's in charge of rain. So he can make it rain, not only rain, but he can bring ice chunks. He can do that. He can devastate. He can flood. He can flood even the whole universe, or at least part of the universe. And he can also withhold the water, as he's doing here, and he poured water on Vrindavan. So, and why? Because he was thinking that I'm very powerful, and he became a little insulted that that there was some envy that God was getting, or Krishna was getting more honor than him, more power. Krishna, as a child, stopped to the Indra Yajna. If we're getting some service, imagine if we have someone coming to massage us every day, and then someone says, "No, you don't have to go anymore." When we find out, "Hey, where's the massage? Well, what happened? Why didn't you come last few days?" "Well, such and such said I didn't need to come anymore." So we become upset. "Wow, who's he? How can he stop my massage?" So we become attached to our position that we've imagined is very exalted. And when someone interferes with that, even Krishna, even if Krishna interferes, just like if God interferes, takes away my home or takes away my wealth or my health, then I may give up on God. Just like in the Second World War, this was told to Prabhupada by one German devotee, god brother of his. He said in Germany they were the wives and daughters and mothers of the soldiers went to the church and were praying to God to please bring back their husbands and sons and fathers. But when they didn't come back, then many of them became atheists. They gave up. "What kind of God is this? We prayed." So they think that God is their order supplier. They give orders and then he does what they say. And if he doesn't do, then get rid of him. Kind of like a pet dog. If the dog does what you want, then you keep him. And if he doesn't do what you want, then you get rid of him. Well, this is the problem. That God is absolute, and we are his servants, not that he's our servant. When someone asks something from God, that's not pure devotional service, especially if he asks for something material. So, generally the pure devotees, they don't ask anything. If they ask something, they ask for more devotional service. Otherwise, they're satisfied with what they've got. Okay, continue.
Consequently, there was sufficient rainfall in the place named Ajanabha. When Yajnapati wants to, he can do anything without the help of any subordinate. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is known as Almighty. In the present age of Kali, there will eventually be a great scarcity of water, anavarshi, for the general populace, due to ignorance and the scarcity of yajna ingredients, will neglect to perform yajnas. Srimad Bhagavatam therefore advises yajna sankirtana praye yajantihi sumedha saha. After all, yajna is meant to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this age of Kali, there is great scarcity and ignorance. Nonetheless, everyone can perform sankirtan yajna.
Yes. This. Pick up this. So,
every family.
Wait, I was going to say something here. So, this is a nice point that Yajnapati, that's Krishna, he can fill in. He he very kindly gives Indra a task, a service to do, and if Indra becomes neglectful, then Krishna can come in. It's like Brahma. There, in every universe, there's a Brahma. And the Brahma should be a pure devotee because it's such a responsible task to generate the living entities and to design everything, architect the whole universe. But if there's no pure devotee, then the Lord himself becomes Brahma, does the job. That's one point. So another point is this anavrishti, scarcity of water. It's predicted in the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam. The future of Kali Yuga is predicted that there will be insufficient rain, there will be drought. Why? Because sacrifice will not be performed. When sacrifice is not performed, then there's no clouds. Annad bhavati bhutani parjanyad anasambhavaha yagya karma samudbhavaha yagya karma. Yes. So from rains come food grains, and rains come from yajna, sacrifice, yajna karma samudba. And sacrifice is performed, karma samudbhava, when one performs his dharma, varnashram dharma. So when varnashram dharma is properly functioning, then there'll be the proper amount of rain. Just like when Yudhishthira Maharaj was the emperor, there was sufficient rain. The rain came at night, not too much rain, not too little rain. Everything was, the earth was happy. Earth is the body of the deity of the earth, Vasudha, Vasundara, Bhumi, different names. So she's, even though it's a bodily function, it's like a cow. When the cow has a calf, then the cow gives abundant milk. But if she has no calf, then she's not inspired. So it's a, there may be some biological aspects, but even more than the biological aspects is the emotional. Because devotees have told me that take care of cows, that sometimes after the cow has no calf, but if she's fond of the cowherd boys, then she adopts them. And she goes on giving milk for years because she feels affection and they're milking her. And so there will be shortage because of lack of sacrifice and because of ignorance and scarcity of yajna ingredients. In previous ages, the yajna ingredients, there was ghee. They would pour lots of ghee into the sacrificial fire. And grains would be poured into the sacrificial fire. That's cow's ghee, not some kind of soy ghee or something like that. But real ghee was poured in, and some places there is not, they don't have sufficient ghee, and they don't understand the importance of the cow. The cow is important because she gives milk. Milk is liquid religiosity. Even if there are some anomalies, let's say the cow is being mistreated, still she gives liquid religiosity, so we should not give up the milk of the cow, the liquid religiosity, because she's being mistreated. Of course, it is another duty of ours to try to reestablish the proper treatment of the cows. This is the duty of the Vaishyas. Vaishyas are supposed to protect cows. Prabhupada wrote a letter to Sumati Morarji. You've heard of Sumati Morarji. Very wealthy Gujarati businesswoman. And she helped Prabhupada to come to America and other ways. So Prabhupada wrote to her. You can see the letter on the Vedabase. And he said, why don't you and the other wealthy Gujaratis organize large-scale dairies, and this will protect many thousands of cows, and also so much milk will be supplied and everything. That was not done. But actually, that's what the wealthy Vaishyas should be doing. And they can do it. They know how to make money. They'll figure out a way to make money out of it. And they'll be protecting cows and doing their duty. So that's the Vaishyas. So it's not that we should give up taking milk products because there's some mistreatment of the cows. That's double loss. Not only will it not stop the mistreatment, because the demons or the demoniac tendency is they're going to slaughter the cows anyway for eating them. And if you stop drinking the milk, then they'll just slaughter them quicker. That's not the solution. The solution is that for the time being, we can use these milk products, as Prabhupada did. This is by his example, that he engaged these commercial dairies in performing the sacrifice. Why do we need, someone may say, well, I don't need milk. They may give the example of Drona and Dara. They were living on dry leaves. If you can live on dry leaves like Drona and Dara and not eat anything else, then... But in their next birth, they became Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, and they maintained 900,000 cows. So this idea that I don't need milk. No, milk is required for producing finer brain tissues to understand absolute truth. Without milk products, it will be very difficult to understand the absolute truth. In other words, it requires finer brain tissues that are produced by milk. Milk has some exclusive, unique characteristics that no other product. Just like if you think, well, I'll take goat's milk. Doesn't work the same. Or buffalo milk. It won't have the same effect as cow's milk. Or camel's milk. So many mammals have milk. I did a study with the devotee who's in charge of our agriculture and cow protection in Europe. And through analysis, we did the calculation, that the cow gives milk when she has a calf. And some say that all the milk should be given to the calf. But according to this devotee, it was calculated that only 7% is required for the calf. The other 93% is meant for human consumption. Most people don't know this, but that's a fact. He said, yes, the calf can live very healthy on 7%. And after that's given, in the beginning the calf gets full milk, and then after some time, then she starts eating some grass and then some other grains, and 7%. So because people are in ignorance, they think that they criticize and they say that humans are not supposed to drink milk because no other animal drinks the milk of another species. That's one argument that it's used. But that's not a fact. If given the opportunity, practically every animal will drink milk. But they don't have hands to milk the cow, therefore they're dependent on the humans too. But if you give a cat milk or dog milk or cheese or mice, they love milk. Everyone loves milk. It's just they don't have the hands to. So that's not a very strong argument that no species, even cockroaches like milk. So they'll drink it, they'll eat it. So this idea that we should give up milk and it's not natural. They don't know what natural is because they don't know that there's God and God makes the nature and nature is working under His direction and He has a plan. So we don't want to lose the opportunity of having the finer brain substance just to go along with a new trend for health and things like that. Let's continue.
Every family in every society can conduct Sankirtan Yajna at least every evening. In this way, there will be no disturbance or scarcity of rain. It is essential for the people in this age to perform the Sankirtan Yajna in order to be materially happy and to advance spiritually.
What does he mean by every family in every society can conduct Sankirtan Yajna at least every evening? What does that mean? Yeah, they can chant. They can sit down together
or stand up together
and they can sing, glorify Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Lama, Hare Lama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And if they do that, what will happen? Yes, then there won't be any scarcity anymore. Some places don't get sufficient rain. Some places get too much rain because they're not performing yajna. In this age, the Sankirtan yajna, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. Prabhupada told of his own experience when he was a little boy in Calcutta. He was just maybe 2 years. He was walking, but not very big. He said there was a big drought, and people were dying. So one Babaji, he came and organized massive Harinam, and everyone started chanting the holy names of the Lord, and then the rains came and poured down. Drought was over. So he said by his practical experience, he saw that. That's not the main reason we chant. That's not the highest principle to chant for water. The main principle to chant is to develop love of Krishna. But it's a side benefit also that by chanting you get rain and you get prosperity. You get peace of mind. Just like it's not the primary goal to chant Hare Krishna to get peace of mind. But for some people, I remember there was one agent, a real estate agent, helped us acquire our property, Kansas City. So after all the transactions were over, and she said, can I ask you something? I said, yes. Yeah. She said, you seem so peaceful. Why is that? I said, well, maybe it's the chanting. I chant a lot of Hare Krishna. She said, well, I'm going to have to try that because I need peace. So that's the...
It's not the highest.
She should have said, I would like to chant that so I can get love of God. But at least peace of mind is something tangible, and it's also achievable. Anyone who's chanted Hare Krishna, it's very, very rare to see someone who gives up chanting Hare Krishna. Because the benefits of chanting are so vivid. Not only does one get spiritually advanced, but material and free from mental distress, mantra delivers the mind. Maybe you've had that experience, you're stressed out under some circumstance, just chant. And the stress goes away, the anxiety, because it puts everything back in perspective that I am the servant of Krishna, he's in control, and Radha Krishna are the worshipable enjoyers, and I am meant to serve them. But then everything is back in order, and I'm, instead of me thinking that I'm the doer, that I'm the controller, that I'm the enjoyer, and that's why chanting is so important. So in this age, it's the only way to get self-realization. By chanting, by congregational chanting, everything becomes auspicious and there'll be sufficient resources. Even in places like deserts, if the chanting is done very nicely, why did it become a desert? Because sinful activities were performed there, sinful people living there. But if they change and they become devotees, then the Lord is a person, and material nature is also a person. So if there's nice living entities there, nice devotees, then the Lord will arrange. Give them water, give them food, give them whatever they need. It's not impersonal. Sometimes people say that because there's trees, there's rain. Or there's rain. How do they say it? They say there's rain because there's tree. If you plant trees, then the trees will bring rain. But no, the Lord arranges to feed all of his nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam. Eko bahunam yoga didati kaman. He's supplying the necessities of everyone. So, yagyai sankirtana prayai means sumedasaha. Those who have sufficient intelligence will worship the Lord and participate in sankirtan. There's no need for other processes. We don't need karma. We don't need a program of... We don't even need Varnashram. If people will chant, then automatically everything will be auspicious and people will get along well together. Because on the chanting platform, on the spiritual platform, there's only one ashram, Paramahamsa. That's in the Satyuga, everyone's Paramahamsa. So there's no need for Varnashram. Varnashram comes later when vice is introduced and we need to organize things. So chanting, then you can have a classless society, just like in our temples. The temples are miniature Vaikunthas because everybody cooperates together by chanting Hare Krishna. And nobody discriminates, oh, there's a Shudra, he's cleaning the floor, he's washing the pots, he's untouchable. No, he's not untouchable. In fact, if you touch his lotus feet, then you make spiritual advancement. There's no discrimination that the pot washer is less than the pujari or the book distributor is. No, everyone's on the absolute platform because everyone's chanting Hare Krishna and engaging in the Sankirtan Yajna. It's all absolute, Advaya Gyan. Are there any questions? Yes?
Maharaj, thank you for your class. I was wondering if you could please speak a little bit on the 10th offense to the holy name, to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names.
Yes. That the holy name will is all I need. Just like I'll give you one example. Once I was at a temple and some devotees were giving out some leaflets. So I said, oh, let me see. So they gave me a leaflet. And it was promoting some type of a method of kind of a psychological method, pseudo-spiritual method to get free from psychological hang-ups and problems. And I said, well, I thought that's what chanting Hare Krishna was for. I asked him. And he said, yes, but the thing is, in Kali Yuga, we're so messed up that we can't even chant Hare Krishna. We have to do this first, get cleared, and then we can chant. So that was his philosophy. So that's maintaining material attachments. Not thinking that the Lord's holy name is all I need is sufficient. So holding on to my own speculations, what will be good for spiritual advancement. And no, it's not required. And holding on to material things. There's four sinful activities. So if one holds on to those four sinful activities, then that's an offense. They asked Prabhupada once, they said, there's some devotees who live outside, Prabhupada. They're chanting Hare Krishna, but they take marijuana and they have illicit sex. What about that? But they love chanting. So Prabhupada said, the chanting will be effective, but it'll take a long time. Because just like if you want to light a log of wood, but the log is wet and you keep putting water on it, it'll take a long time. But even chanting with offenses purifies, it just takes longer. So they're chanting with offenses, maintaining material attachments. So if you want to make rapid progress in spiritual life, then follow the instructions of the spiritual master, give up the materialistic attachments. Did you have something else, or? Yes.
I believe there was a story about Kirtananda Swami. I think it could have been in West Virginia where they were having problem with no rain, and then he said he could make it rain. Do you remember that story? Oh, sorry.
No, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. The story may exist, I just don't know of it.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you.
I just wanted to share a personal appreciation of you, something that you were expressing. You explained so nicely in logical terms this point about the milk thing, this milk argument of that it's harmful to the cows that we take milk because it, you know, it's coming from cows that are mistreated. And somehow I had that deeper appreciation also that this is something that Srila Prabhupada did, as you were explaining. He engaged the you know, this liquid religiosity in Krishna's service like that. And my small appreciation, I felt at least, that you you understood that this is what Srila Prabhupada did, so there's, so it's correct. The logical arguments that are given elsewhere are, must fall short somewhere. I don't know where exactly you got the understanding.
We can appreciate their concerns for the well-being of the animals, certainly. But that's not lacking in the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas have protected cows for thousands of generations. It's the Western Malecha culture that has introduced this, not the Vaishnav culture. So why should the Vaishnavs be accused of supporting something that was introduced by the Malecha culture, the Western culture? The Vaishnavs' tradition has always been protecting cows. Now, on the other hand, we should not become, shall we say, complacent and not maintain cows. That's another thing. If we stop maintaining cows because it's too much trouble, just go buy milk at the store instead of having farm communities and maintaining our own cows, that's neglectful on our part, and that can be rectified. So we have to be very enthusiastic and eager to establish cow protection. And that's why I say Prabhupada specifically put the large responsibility on the Vaishyas, especially the wealthy Vaishyas, because they are expert at business. And they're supposed to be protecting cows, Goraksha. So, and they're doing that at Bhaktivedanta Manor. They've started a program. They call it Ahimsa milk, nonviolent milk. And it's working. So it can work. We just have to tax our brains to figure out how to do it. They've created this artificial situation where they subsidize the slaughtering of animals and so many, the government subsidizing. I can tell you what Kshatriyas can do. I was in Israel, and we had one devotee who was an attorney, and in Tel Aviv. And at one time, there was a portion of Tel Aviv, a fairly large portion of the city, was under a particular manager or mayor or something like that. So he, for some reason, he was not able to function anymore. He either retired or he died or something. So they appointed this attorney to be in charge of that district of the city until the next election. So there happened to be a slaughterhouse in that district, and he made all kinds of propaganda and arrangements, and he closed down the slaughterhouse. He said, this is not good for health, it's not economical. He gave all the reasons. So everybody should use their abilities to protect the cows in different ways. The preachers, they protect the cows by preaching and making people realize, just like Prabhupada. Prabhupada, by his preaching, how many millions of people gave up eating meat, gave up eating cows? So you can't accuse him of being, shall we say, an accomplice in the slaughtering of cows. That would be a great offense. Thank you. There was another question here. Okay, answered. Any other? Yes.
This is just kind of a specific question. I heard the cows in India, they have a hump, and that causes their milk to be very spiritually beneficial, but cows without that, the benefit is not the same. Are you familiar with that point? Or
no. certainly Prabhupada wasn't concerned with that, because the cows that we had in America in New Vrindavan, none of them had humps. And he was praising them. He was saying, these cows are so wonderful, they're giving so many gallons a day because of love, because they realize that they're not going to be slaughtered. So Mahajana, we follow the Mahajanas. So if a Mahajana establishes a principle, then that can be followed without question. The example is given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to one person's home, and this person was a very great devotee, but he was from a lower family. Not the type of family that generally a Brahmin or sannyasi is supposed to eat in his home. So Lord Chaitanya was, considering. And then it turned out that this devotee had hosted Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri had eaten at his home. So then Lord Chaitanya said, then that's it. Then the decision is already made. There's no need to consider what's acceptable or not acceptable, because Madhavendra Puri did it. So we're followers of Srila Prabhupada, and we should understand his reasoning about things and try to follow in that line and defend those reasons, because he knows all the shastras, Sarva Deva Mayo Guru, Acharya Mam Vijani Yam Navamanyeta Karajit Namarcha Bhujya Suyeta Sarva Deva Mayo. He is the sum total of all the demigods, the Acharya. So he knows all the rules and regulations and how to apply them in different circumstances. We may not be able to know all those things. We may not be able to study all the scriptures ourselves. But if you have an acharya who's so learned and so realized, then he'll make the proper decision. Okay? Yes?
Thank you, Maharaj. Is a mother's, a human mother's breast milk more considered more important or less important than a cow's?
Well, it's certainly important in the beginning, but it stops after a while. And then mother cow, therefore there's seven mothers. Adho Mata Guru Patni, so the original mother, she supplies the milk in the beginning, but then the cow, because people don't know the laws of nature, then the cow, she's also mother, she takes over for the rest of the life. But just because mother cow or mother, my original mother, doesn't give more milk, that doesn't mean we cut her throat and eat her. So similarly, it doesn't mean when the cow gets too old or something, then we... So this is a very rakshasa, degraded civilization, needs to be corrected, needs to be educated. Therefore, our movement is meant to educate. Srimad Bhagavatam is the only hope. Therefore, we're out distributing books. Isn't it? Yes, we distribute books so that to educate the misdirected civilization. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.